Okay, so again, we introduced Basar B'Chalav last time, and just to quickly summarize where we were, that way we can look at where we are going. We saw that the Torah has three prohibitions, which is again is a little bit surprising and speaks presumably to the Chomer HaIsser when it comes to Basar B'Chalav. There's an Isser Bishul to cook it, which also we explained means to create it, right? If you re-cook it, that would not be the prohibition in Bishul Achar Bishul. We said there's an Isser Achila, which is the more obvious, and there's an Isser Hana of benefiting from the creation, from the Basar B'Chalav itself. One example that I did not talk about, Michael, you're just in time. One example that I did not talk about when it comes to the Isser Hana of Basar B'Chalav is dog food.
Thanks.
And I'm not accusing you. I have no idea, but I know you have a dog. But it is something important to keep in mind when there are. When the Hechsherim have documents related, besides Pesach, related to pet food, it's partially because of this. There's not just a kashrus issue, which isn't as significant, but there is potentially an Isser Hana. It's your animal benefiting from it. Right? I think I mentioned at the very end last time the petting zoo concept. Right? That if you feed an animal of Hefker, that's also considered to be Hana. Because people enjoy feeding animals, and again, the raya, the proof that we said was the petting zoo. So that's really what we saw last time.
How about babies? Giving Basar B'Chalav to babies? Is there
a
same issue with
Hana? There would be, again, and generally speaking, you're not allowed to give something which is usser to a child as well. It can't be Masapa Isser. If a child, question if you have to be mafresh, if you have to stop a child from eating something which is forbidden. When the child is doing it on his own, but the person is not allowed to, generally speaking. Again, there are certain cases, there are certain, not really Basar B'Chalav, but there are certain...
That's why babies eating cheeseburgers.
Nah, that doesn't happen. What does happen, we're going to talk about the waiting in between with the younger children a little bit tonight. What does happen with the children related to Isser Achila is there is a, I don't know what it's called anymore, but there's one of the formulas for the children, for the babies who have trouble keeping it down, is made out of pig milk or pig... I forget what it's called.
Nutramigen?
Something like that, yes. Yeah. So there, again, first of all, it's been changed, and there, again, it's potentially a pikuach, or at least a suffix pikuach nefesh issue for the children that really can't get anything else down. But again, that's not Isser Hana, it's just a question of Isser Achila. The truth is, when it comes to Isurei Achila in general, we try to be very careful when it comes to children. There, at least the Medrash certainly conveys this idea of the food being metamte mesalev, that when food becomes, since it becomes part of our body, if it's prohibited food, it has a negative impact on the body as well. And that's with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't nurse from the Egyptian woman. Again, obviously, it's on a level of a Moshe Rabbeinu, but the concept is there. Okay, so I want to try to focus more on tonight, and if we get back to our Tzurva packets over here, again, as I mentioned last time, it's not going to be exactly what the order that they're doing it in, but it's going to be similar. But I want to try to focus more on the Isser Achila, on the Isser Achila. It's certainly the primary of the Isurim, and it's the one that we need to look at most closely. So we spoke a little bit last time, I believe, how in order to be prohibited, and in order to be Basar B'Chalav, it needs to be a kosher animal with kosher milk. It does not necessarily mean an animal that was slaughtered properly, but a kosher min of animal cooked together with the kosher milk. That is not allowed to be eaten. If you have meat or milk that has already been cooked separately and you eat them together, so we said that is an Isser Derabanan. We did not mention, I don't think, about chicken. Chicken, oaf, is a machlokas in the Mishnah and Maseches Chulin, and we paskin that oaf, even if it's cooked, is midirabanan, not midoraisa. Again, with the only being in quotes, you know, there are abundance and derisos for us. For most things, don't make that big of a difference. But here, it's going to because of the Isser Hana, and potentially the Isser Bishul as well. With that background, so we know that means that you can't eat meat and milk together. You can't eat meat and milk together. And with that, the question is, so how far does that go? How far does that go? So the Gemara says in Chulin, it's in the ninth source over here, it's on page 29. Amar Rav Chista, achal basar asar lechol gvina. If a person eats meat, he's not allowed afterwards to eat cheese. Not allowed afterwards to eat cheese. So Amar Marukva says, Ana, I, leha milsa, for in regards to this matter, I am chala bar chamer legabe abba. I am like vinegar, the son of the wine, again, relative to my father. De'ilu abba, when it came to my father, kiyava achal bisra ha'idna, lo v'achal gvin ad l'machar ad hashta. My father would wait 24 hours after eating meat before eating cheese. V'ilu ana, however, for me, b'ha sudasa hu d'lo achilna, I wouldn't eat it in this meal. L'sudasa achrita achilna, but in the next meal, I would. And the question is, what exactly, again, on many levels, what is he saying? The first is, if he really thought that it's...
Who cares? I like his opinion.
You like his opinion. You like his opinion. We have to figure out what his opinion is, first of all. The question of Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichas Musar, in one of his Shmuzin, wonders... again, we're still talking about Mar Ukva, so he might say that he's vinegar relative to wine, but he's a great one of the great Amoraim. So if he really thought that it was so much better to wait 24 hours... he couldn't just figure out to do it. So he, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says that what you see from that is that he understood that it's a chumrah. And what that teaches you is that a person has to be on the right level for whatever chumrahs he is going to take on. But taking on chumrahs that are not appropriate for where a person is in and of itself inappropriate. And he said that for my father, on whatever level he was, this was an appropriate chumrah. But me, however, I'm trying to do the right thing, it would, whether it would be yuhara, whether it would be like viewed as gaiva, is inappropriate. It's inappropriate to take on chumras that aren't for where you are. Which again, in life is just an important outlook. You know, there's a place for chumras, but that has to fit in, it has to jive with the general way that I am living my life. So the questions now are as follows. The first question is, what does he mean? He didn't eat it in this meal, he ate it in the next meal. So there are several approaches into Rishonim, just how do you define from one meal to the next? And then the larger overarching question is, what's the problem? What's the problem? We said that midoraisa, you're not allowed to cook them together and then eat them. We said midrabanan, you can't eat them together. And now we're saying, not just that you can't eat them together when they're not cooked together, which in and of itself was only derabanan, but now you can't even eat meat followed by cheese. What's going on here? What's going on here? Right? It seems like a chumra on top of a chumra or a gzeira on top of a gzeira. Right? If the whole... why is it that you can't eat meat and milk separately if they weren't cooked together? Why can't you eat them together when they were not cooked together? Right? What's the problem? So presumably we're afraid that you're going to come to eat them together even if they're cooked together. That's a classic derabanan. You can't do this lest you come to this. So then, now what? You can't eat them one after another because you may come to eat them together, because if you eat them together, you may come to cook them together and eat them together. So it's a bit much. So what's going on here? So those are the main issues that we're going to try and address. So the first question is, let's just try and define, what does he mean, right? If you take his words at face value, what does it sound like he's doing? The simplest understanding, I think,
for the next meal.
Right? And if you decide
4 hours, breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
there's maybe a few hours in between, or if I get hungry an hour later, that's probably okay also. Right? It's a different meal. He seems to be saying that not just, right, if I was just trying to understand his words, I would say, you can't eat them together. Together is defined as in the same meal, as long as it's a different meal. Right, Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, so you do a little bit of the wrapping up, and you go for a little bit of a shtickle walk, so you don't have a bracha issue, and then everything is okay. So I think if you took the simplest reading of Mar Ukva and the Gemara is that midrabanan, you're not just allowed to, you can't eat, not only can you not eat them together, but you can't eat them in one meal. If it's not the same meal, then everything's okay. But that is not the way that most of the Rishonim understood. So if we look at the most prominent approach in the Rishonim, which they have quoted here from the Rush, it says here it's also the opinion of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Tur, is that he was defining a specific amount of time. So the Rush, again, quotes first from the Gemara, Amar Mar Ukva, Nala Milsa Chal Bar Chamar, I am regarding this thing like vinegar, the son of wine. Dilu abok yabacha bisra edna labacha gvina ad-lamachar kihashta. Right, my father, if he would eat meat now, would not eat meat until the same time, 24 hours later, he would not eat cheese until then. On the next page, I would eat at the next meal. Perish, what does that mean? Bizmana sheragil adam lisod. At the time that it would be normal to have the next meal, similar to what Michael was saying. Not when, if I decide to wash and now I decide it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm hungry again. Right? But it's the time that meals are normally spread out. It is giving us an amount of time. Dahainu, and now he's going to tell us what the time is. Mizman sudas haboker azman sudas haerev. So they typically did not eat three meals a day, they ate two meals a day. They ate two meals a day. So one a little bit later in the morning, and one a little bit earlier in the evening.
Roughly 6 hours.
Roughly 6 hours. Right, exactly. How would you guess? Upachos mishir zeh, but less than that amount of time. Ein lechol gvina chabasa. You should not eat meat after. You should not eat cheese after meat. Deloashkechon man deshari af b'hai shira ela mar akva. Because the only person who's being makel at all is mar akva. V'kakari nashi chal bar chamra. He's saying that he's, you know, I'm the low of the low. I'm the vinegar of the son of wine. So certainly we're going to assume that he's telling us what the Ikar Hadin is. So you can't be more make, right? We're not going to assume that Marokka's father's over here with, you know, super spitz chumrah. And Marokka's got, you know, decent chumrah. But the real halakha is down here. The Rush says no. The Rush says no. If he views himself, once he wasn't ready for the chumrah, then we can at least assume that he was telling us what's the halakha. And the halacha is one meal to the next. So your brunch till your lupper is, doesn't tell us, but we'll see in the Rambam momentarily, about 6 hours. About 6 hours. What's wrong, Stephen?
It's so obvious that it has to be the minimum. It's not so obvious.
I mean, we have no...
I can say the opposite. Like, he's a great man. He's a great... So if his father was here, he was there.
Right.
There would be a lot of people below him.
But then he probably would have called himself, you know, like, you know, soda or something. Not, or beer. Not all the way down to vinegar. Vinegar is...
Or if he was from Holland.
We got to get there. We got to get to all the different minhagim. Okay, again, it's not muchrach. I don't think you could say that 100%, but I can certainly understand where the Rishonim are coming from with this understanding. The Rambam defines it a little bit more clearly. In number 11, Mishach Basar Betchila, if you eat meat first, Bain Basar Behema, Bain Basar Oaf. That's a very important addendum that the Rambam put in. It's also going to apply to chicken. Why is that significant? Because that's now even three levels removed, right? Because why was the chicken not allowed? The chicken's not allowed to eat, meaning if you cook the chicken together with the milk, that's only Durabanan. So why was that forbidden with Durabanan? So you don't come to eat the meat after you cook it together with the milk. So it's another layer. It's another layer too, but it's included as well. So if you eat either any sort of meat or poultry, lo yochal achrav chalav ad sheir b'nein kadei sheir sudacheres v'hu kimo she shos. It is like 6 hours. Like 6 hours.
How does the reverse come into play?
Next week. One at a time. I know I keep saying them the opposite. It's one of those things, I don't know. Okay. I had the same problem when I was giving Shir and Chu, and kept slipping up whether I was saying meat first or milk first, but it makes a very big difference. So if I say the wrong thing, please correct me. As soon as my mouth and my head don't keep up with each other. So the Lechem Mishnah explains, U'mefarish Rabbeinu Shemein Suda Suda Vav Shaos, Shekein Suda Samid Chachamim B'Shoa Shishis, the time that a Tam Chacham would eat, in general, is assumed to be into the sixth hour day. Umarukva was a Tam Chachamim. Okay, so from the sixth hour of the beginning of the day until later, that's the 6 hours. Okay, that's not so significant, but we're gonna have to see it. More soon. Now, the other line, which is important, which we'll have to get back to, is the language of the Rambam, which is kimo sheishos, right? Like 6 hours. Like 6 hours doesn't sound like he's telling a very, very exact year. And if you think about it, it makes sense. because the time between meals isn't exact. It's about, right? You eat your breakfast at around a certain time. So it makes a lot of sense. Based on that, presumably, is the source for many of the minhagim of what I'll call five and up, right? Whether it's 5 in a minute, whether it's 5 and a half, whether it's a full six, all of those presumably are based on the Rambam. Now the poskim do discuss them. It's not a free for all, but that is the source for the sixth hour. Later on, hopefully we'll get to a little later, we'll get to more details of the number of hours. But this first approach is assuming that the Mar Ukva is teaching us about the amount of time. We'll get to the 3 hours and those types of things hopefully a little bit later. But right now, again, approach number one is that Mar Ukva, when he says, I wouldn't eat it in one Suda until the next Suda, is not talking practically, but he's talking from the normal time of one Suda to the next. Good? That's approach number one. Approach number two is the simpler reading of the Gemara, I think, but a much more extreme opinion, which is the opinion of Tosfos. And Tosfos says in Chulin, Lav b'sudas, on the top of page 31, source 13, we're not talking about the normal time of meals. Not like what the Rambam just said, not like the Rosh and the other Rishonim just stood. El afilu le'alter, even immediately, im sile kashochan uberech mutter, the lo plug rabbanan. All he was saying is that you can't eat it in the same meal. How is the end of a meal defined? You bench and you remove the table. Again, removing the table is a little bit more of a chazal detail, because they had these little tables that they would remove at the end of the meals. So for us, it would presumably be clearing the table and benching, and that's it. And that's it. And again, it's probably just as logical to read Mar Ukva that way. That was the way I think we initially, or at least I initially, understood Mar Ukva, is that it was, and again, the lumdus is easier to understand according to him, because he's basically saying that Chazal understood that you're considered to be eating them together as long as you're eating it in one meal. Right? So it's not a what we would call a gezeirah the gezeirah, it's what we would call kulacha the gezeirah. Right? Chazal said you can't eat them together. That doesn't be defined as, you know, what's together. If I take a bite out of the same sandwich and I don't get a bite of the meat and the bite of the cheese at the same time, so it's not together. So together is as long as it's one meal, that's together. That's together. That would be, again, the conceptual understanding with the practical halacha. The most lenient is an opinion also quoted, again, it's in a different Tosfos, in Chulin, the opinion of the Bahag and Rabbeinu Tam in 14. For Rabbeinu Tam, Mefarash Rechen Alechas Gadol, Sa'acha Basar Asa Gvina, Hainu Belo Netila V'Kinuach, Ava B'Netila V'Kinuach Shari, all you have to do is wash your hands and clean out your mouth. Wow.
So can your mouth is a whole new entity.
Even be in the same meal. So what's Mar Ukva talking about, right? Isn't this against Mar Ukva? Mar Ukva clearly said, right? Mar Ukva clearly says a different meal. So don't worry. Bahag's on top of it. Next line. Umar Ukva delo'acha tzud achrit yehainu bilon etil v'kinuach. What happens if I don't want to rinse out my mouth? So I'm never going to be allowed to eat cheese after meat. There has to be an ending time. You know what the ending time is? The next meal. But if you want to jump the gun and you really need to have your cheese after, and you just finished your meat, you just had your hamburger, and you really need to have cheese, wash out your mouth, clean off your hands, and everything is good. Everything is good. So again, conceptually, I think also we can understand that he was saying that eating them together means having it in your mouth. Having it in your mouth. What does it mean having it in your mouth? As long as you haven't cleaned out your mouth or a significant amount of time has not passed, then that would be having it in your mouth. And that would, don't mean to keep cutting you off, but that would also probably help us understand the first opinion also. Why is it that you can't have it from one meal to the next meal? And we'll see this more a little bit later, is because we assume that there's something left in your mouth. So it's still considered to be eating it together. So they're all basically, conceptually, saying the same thing, which is that it's not a gezeira on top of a gezeira, but it's one din d'rabbanan. The din d'rabbanan is you cannot eat meat and or chicken together with cheese at the same time. How you define at the same time is what their machlokas is about. Either it's as long as there's some sort of shirai potentially left in your mouth, and that we're concerned about up to, we'll call it 6 hours for now. If there are little bits left in your mouth, that's not going to necessarily concern us. That's what the Tosfos and the Rav Yo would say, right? As long as it's not the same meal, then everything is okay. And then the opinion of here is like, yeah. And if you want to get rid of it sooner, just clean out your mouth, and everything is okay. Correct. Again, the reason that it's so mechudosh to say it is because I'm just trying to bother Alan a little bit. The reason that it's so mechudosh to say it is because that's not what Mar Okva said, right? You need the extra knach in Mar Okva, so Mar Okva is giving you the solution if you don't wash out. But wash, of course, washing out works. Yes, Alan.
What is Mar Okva saying though?
What do you mean?
Your next meal. And if he was going to make a su'udah, what would he do with his next meal? He would wash his hands and he'd make a mochi. So you'd have the quinoa and you'd have the rechitz anyway.
Okay. But if he didn't?
What? What are you talking about? He'd be washing his hands.
What?
He'd be making a mochi, a piece of bread.
I hear you.
He'd do it all.
Good.
He's only defining, saying the reason why you're going to wait till your next meal is, at a minimum.
Right. I hear you.
I'm going to do all this.
Okay,
and I'll even have a little bit of time.
It's
to
a good. It's
well.
A. It's a good ha'ara. I assume that the response would be, is that Mar Okva is going to say that if you decide again, it was a foreign concept to them. It is not foreign to us that you are, you know, trying to lose some pounds and you're not going to wash it every meal and you're going to eat your cheese first. That you'd still be able to do it. It's true. Again, you're correct that that's not their normal way. Clearly, they're.
Well, yeah, it also depends how medayik you want to be in the lashon. Okay, once you say suda, if you give me kovei
right.
suda, you're talking about washing and eating bread.
Right. Right. Okay. So now we have the background of the mishnah. We have no idea how we paskin. No idea how we paskin. I mean, we might know what we do, but we have no idea how we paskin. Hopefully, there's some overlap between how we paskin and what we do. But we'll see that momentarily. Oh, so what's the halacha? So here, number 15, Yoredeya, Siman Peites, Sif Aleph, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ocha basar, if you ate meat, afilu shel chayav of, even poultry, again, chaya also, chaya is the non-domesticated animal, like a deer, that's also only derabanan. That's in the Mishnah that we saw briefly last week as well. Lo yochal gvina akrav, you cannot eat cheese afterwards, ad she yishaya, Sheish Shaos. Vafilu Imsha Kashir. Even if you waited that time, you may basar bein ashinayim tzarech. If you find meat, you have to get it out. Valois Latinok tzarech lahamtin. And if you chew for a baby, you have to wait as well. We will try and get to those details later. We're going to leave out the second half of the. It's an interesting order they put it in. I probably would have done that first, but we're going to stick to. We're going to stick to them for now. That is what the Mechaber, that's what the Mechaber says. Says the Ramah. V'imotza achakach basa v'dein ha-shinayim mesiro. If you find pieces of meat in your teeth and you take them out, sarach adiach piv, kodem shalach gvin, you should still wash them out, because presumably, right, there's a reason to believe there's something still in your mouth. V'yeshomrim, here we go. De'ein srich na'amtin sheshos, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Rak miyadim silek ubirech birkas hamazon mutter al yedei kinuach v'hadacha. Interesting, right? He combined two opinions there. He said it's enough to just finish the meal, but you still have to wash out. You still have to wash out your mouth. V'amina gapashut b'medina seilu. Right, Ramaz Rabbi Ashkenaz here. The minig is lahamtin achar chilas abasar shah achas. The minhag habashit is to wait 1 hour. What is the waiting 1 hour presumably saying? Presumably saying it's the next meal is good enough. But by after an hour, that way you don't have to worry about actually washing out your mouth anymore. Presumably it's some sort of compromise. But that is what he calls the minhag habashit. Miyu, However, you do have to bench. Meaning he's paskin like that middle shita. You cannot eat them together, even if you wash out your mouth, if it's the same meal. If it's the same meal, that is called eating it together, even if your mouth is technically clean. Does have kesuda acheres. Once you bench, it's a new meal. The mutter lachol the devar amekilin, and according to those that are lenient, you can be mekum. Ava below birkas hamazon, but without benching, lo mahani amtana shah. It's not enough just to wait. It's not enough to wait, because why? Eating them in one suuda is still called eating it together. Ve'ein chiluk im himtana shah kod birkas hamazon achar kach. Once you bench, it doesn't matter if you waited before or after, it's going to count because the waiting was to just make sure there's nothing left in your mouth. So you need two conditions according to the Ramah.
We're using Birchas HaMazon here as any bracha chrona, but just the fact yes. that they always had...
Yes, yes, right. The bracha chrona, that it has to be... The bracha chrona is a official ending of your eating session. V'matzah basar ben shinav, and if you find meat afterwards, achar hashah, what about after the hour? Tzarech lenakos, you have to take it out. V'yesh omrim, some say, de'ein levarach berakas amaz amanas lechol gavina. You can't bench just to have cheese. Why not? That's halach in hachos brachos. Not in hachos basar v'chalav. So bracha she'ein etzricha. You're benching for no reason, because you're going to, probably like Alan said, going to wash again. And then you're going to have to bench again. So you don't need to bench yet. There are those that like the mechaber, right? The mechaber said 6 hours, if you remember, back on the previous page, that was eight to wait 6 hours. Those are the three words heard around the world from the Rambam. You thought until now that Rambam was saying that all Bnei Ashkenaz are good with 1 hour, and then the Ramah says no, that the appropriate minhag is to wait 6 hours. Is to wait 6 hours. And the language that some of the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch use is fairly strong, the Shach. V'chein kasam arshad, v'chein ralasos, v'chom mitche yesh bo reach Torah. Anybody who has even a scent of Torah applies by, sticks with this Ramah of waiting 6 hours. And similarly, the Taz says that if you have a Bnei Torah who are making on this, they should also, you should yell at them. You should yell at them.
And according to the Ramah, if you wait 6 hours, he does not say anything about the benching.
Correct. Correct.
So it's obvious that you don't need
it's to... It's obvious, it's annoying that right. Lu Yitzuyer, if it would be that somebody would have a 6 hour long meal, presumably he would be machmir and say you have to bench. And it was just so...
Maybe 6 hours. How do you
say definitely not rinsing. No, definitely not rinsing.
I said benching.
Benching, I think you might even have to do according
how
to...
How can you bench after 6 hours? You started your meal 6 hours.
You're eating pretzels along the way.
You still need the two conditions.
When was the last time you went to a wedding? Come on.
There, again, it's not normal. Not normative, but I think the Rama would still say you can't have them in one meal. There's a Zohar that the Gra quotes on Shulchan Aruch. That's where I know it from. That says you cannot eat, and it goes in both directions. That's where it's the bigger chumrah, and that has to do really with Shavuos, was you can't even have milk and milk first, or cheese first, and then meat at the same meal. And that's what the Zohar says.
Oh. So it all had to do with what kind of cheese it was. It all had to do with what kind of meat it was. The meat.
There was no. So the we're going to get there. The only thing that affects is in the opposite order. In the opposite order, certain types of cheeses might have the status of the meat.
And there are certain types of meats that remain in your teeth and stay in your mouth.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the hot dog thing.
Well, there were different things.
So what you're referencing is the following, which does even get to it here. Rashi and the Rambam, very good. It's on page. I don't know. Does your thing even go to 43? Probably not. That's where they discuss it. They discuss it in a different order. Yes, there is a machlokas rishonim. That's really what the Shulchan Aruch was hinting to earlier about if you only chew it and you don't swallow it, or We'll have to get there. We're going to have to get there.
You're cooking, you want to taste it, and then you're stuck for six
tasting
hours?
Tasting it, or if it's soup.
Yeah, but we'll have to talk about
it. If it's soup, and what's the reason?
Right, exactly. But so that we're not going to be able to finish up today. But what is important is if you take the Ramah, if you understand the Ramah properly, it seems pretty clear that what the Ramah is telling us is that Me'ikir Hadin for Ashkenazim, as long as it's the next meal, you're okay. You're okay. Maybe you need the hour also, but 1 hour and the next meal for Ashkenazim, Me'ikir Hadin, you're fine.
So a good example would be on a plane. So you have flight checks at 11 o'clock and they
start let's take a different,
breakfast in 2 hours.
Let's take a different good example. Okay. Somebody who's sick and for whatever reason needs to eat something.
Oh, but if there's people with that, it comes
up. Not that kind of sick. Not that kind of sick.
You get a super indigestion. You want to have a...
Something, sometimes this comes up. I think...
chicken soup and
I think Rav Schechter, if I remember correctly, I don't remember what exactly the situation was. It was something, I think, with a woman who was nursing and somehow the eating the milkshakes was going to help with the milk. I don't know. It sounds like a little bit like a Baba Maisa. But something along those lines. But he thought that is enough of a chula, she really needed her. A woman, I think he even said for a woman who's pregnant, who has a craving. I'm not going to go on record online with whether the cravings are real or not real. I'm not going to attempt to go there. But the situations where, again, a chola who's not a chola, there's no sakana or anything like that, but if there's something which is the refua, so there's a lot of room, there's room potentially to be makeup. The other situation... does he have it over here? Yeah. Kurin the Chavadah says, what happens if you had meat, and it's after an hour, and you benched, and somebody brings you out some ice cream, and you make a shahakol, and you remember that you are fleshig? Is it better to eat the ice cream within the 6 hours, and not have a bracha levatala, or to have the bracha levatala, and not eat it together? If it was in the same meal... Okay, so l'chora, it's pashut
that you
made a mistake.
And then bracha levatala is much worse of a...
It could be. That's a whole discussion that he has down here, number 20, in the Yechavidas, and he assumes that you should eat a little bit. If it's in the same meal, it is not as pashut. But again, once you know, and again, the other nafka mina is going to be for kids, right? It's going to be for kids. If you're trying to be mechanich kids, once you're out of the realm of an hour or and the same meal, there's a lot more room to be. Again, at a certain point, you want to teach them for what they're going to be doing later. But if, in terms of not feeding them something improper, there seems to be that there is a lot of room to be mako.
So the moral of the story is every time you get up from your meal, bench first, and then you're...
Well, the other nafka mina is, what do you do in a case of suffik? What do I mean suffik? You don't remember when you finished lunch.
So back to the plane. Back to the plane thing.
Yeah, but even that, but you don't remember. We assume that you actually don't even need to know when you benched. You need to know when you finish flashings.
Back to the plane example. So
if you don't know,
you didn't set your time. You're
on okay. The, again, time, so it's not a din of being on a plane. It's a din of not knowing.
Right, okay.
So again, so there are poskim that. So again, what are the tutsdadim? So one angle to look at it is that usually when it's something which was going to become mutter later automatically, we're not so makel. Like a davar sheish lo matirin. So since if you just wait an extra hour, you'll be able to eat, it's not such a big deal. But the flip side is, how machmir do you really need to be on this? Again, me'ikir hadin, on this dirabanan, which is built on top of the other gzeros of sort, of keeping us separate from our meat and our milk, do you really need to be machmir? So they're poskim again, that as long as there's a tzad to say, that you waited the right amount of that it was the right time, you just don't remember, then that would be sufficient. What he has over here is page 35. I don't know if you still have that.
No.
You're out. Okay.
We're out to page.
At that point, I felt bad.
32.
Okay. So on page 35 over here. So here he has the discussion about what he calls waiting into the sixth hour. So that's again, it's based on the Rambam. It goes to Meiri. The Meiri says Vusheish Shos Okarov Lozeh. And again, that seems to be where a lot of these minhagim have come from. So there are a few different sources that that are interesting in terms of some of the halachos. So I think Rav Avadya is more makel after chicken than after meat, which also again makes sense, right? Right. The question is the follows. Again, this comes up more in Eretz Yisrael than it does in America. Although I think there's a psak and liquid about this also, which is if the starim of the yeshiva are going to get messed up by having to separate the fellowship meal and the later meal. Again, that's why it's Eretz Yisrael more like the lunch being fellowship, and it's going to mess up the starim if you have to wait 6 hours from the end of the meal till the next meal. Can you be makil for the purpose of avoiding bitul Torah on lower amounts? And it's a machlokas in the poskim. Some of the poskim are makel. I think the official minug in Lakewood, I think Rav Aaron Cutler said, is 5.5 hours. I think. And I think it was built on the starim of the yeshiva. Because that was what for the way that it was going to be designed, and they didn't want to interfere with the didn't want to interfere with the way that the yeshiva was going to be.
So five to six is fine. What about 1 to 3?
Oh yeah, he quotes it down here, right? Reforced, maybe referring to postcards of Aaron Cutler from Beis Medrash of Lakewood. Reforced the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch al Basar B'Challav. I'm not sure what that sefer is, but that is a discussion as well. So what did you say?
So I understand five and a half to six. But what about the 1 and the 3?
Oh, so where does 3 come? So the 1 we understand. The 1 is the Rambam. So where does the 3 come from? So most, it's not simple. Meaning, I don't think anybody would have come to the 3 on their own. But now that the 3 exists, how do we understand? How do we understand the 3? So the pashtus is that the 3 is. Again, some say that it's a mistake, but if we assume that it's not a mistake, it would be on some other definition of how long it was between meals. Now, that could either be if you had 3 meals as opposed to having 2 meals, then your breaks between meals are going to be shorter. Or if they would always have the evening meal before it gets dark, and you're dealing in, we'll call it Germany, because maybe some 3-hour people don't come from those parts, and on the shortest day, you need to eat the meal while it's still light outside, then you're going to go by a much shorter time than the 6 hours that it's going to be on a longer summer day. And that seems to be where most of the poskim assume that it comes from. If a woman marries, a woman has a minhag of 3 hours and marries up to 6 hours.
That's up or down.
I know. There are a few poskim who are makel. There are a few poskim are makel, but most of the poskim assume that a woman should do what her husband does. The reasons that are given are a little bit weak. I mean, one of the poskim is going to say, chances are she's going to make a mistake in the kitchen and have the milchiks when she's cooking too. I don't know. I trust the women more than that. So they're Nashim or Nashim said Kanios. So we assume that the women should do the same as the men. I will tell you a personal story. My family has a minhag we wait a version, depending on who you are, of 6 hours. But
a version?
Something between over 5 hours and up to 6 hours. But we have a family minhag on Shavuos to wait 3 hours. It's based on a kolbo, which again, as part of the general discussion of how do you make sure that you can have extra milchiks on Shavuos, there are different things. So in order to allow for it, there is this opinion that...
That's fleishik to milchik, not
the fleishik to milchiks, to wait 3 hours only on Shavuos.
And
so
would that hold the same the other way?
No, the other way can be more makel.
During the day only or at night also? So if you have your suda at night and then...
Honestly, I don't even know. So the end of the story is that
I'm hearing the cheesecake story.
Years ago,
dinner, 12 o'clock, yeah,
years ago, I asked Rav Schachter. I said, the Shach says to, if you don't wait 6 hours, you don't have any Reach HaTorah. So I said, okay, I'll wait 6 hours. That was the end of my... So something along those lines. I don't know, I think if you have... It seems to me that is the comment. I think what's important to keep in mind. We'll discuss next time here at Hashem what some of the reason is behind it. But is that an understanding A, where it comes from, and understanding the structure of how the Ashkenazim Paskin, which is that Meikar Hadin, it seems to be that it's really an hour not being the same meal. It certainly, when different types of situations arise, gives a little more room. I'll end with one last story. I think they go to Chassam Sofer as having said, he had a theory that if you sleep, that ends it. That ends it. So if you eat milchiks and then... So apparently the story is that he paskin that way.
How long
and that he woke up in the morning and had eaten late and made his coffee with his milk and spilled it all over his gemara and took it as a simon that he paskined wrong and he was chozer on the psak. So I think we assume that sleep does not change anything. But again, the less you assume that has to do with your digestive system, we'll discuss that last time. But it has a little bit more to do again with the shear between suda suda not being called. Again, they're all agreeing that the lumdus is you can't eat it together. Then the details of that will hopefully fall more into place. Yemirtz Hashem, we'll discuss a little bit more next.